It is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back on a Friday. Hope you're having a good one, as we say. Good afternoon. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Vegas. Michael Lombardi, of course, hanging out in Jersey. Michael, if I could throw to you quickly, we're going to be able to wager eventually on the NBA. Lately, we've been trying to avoid it because how can you? It's literally craps. All I'm going to tell you is the updated play-in scenarios, okay? So tonight, the Lakers are playing Portland. Essentially, those two are tied right now at 6-7. Remember, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are in the play-in. So the Lakers are 6. Tonight's game, essentially winner takes all, because it dictates the tie situation with the Lakers and the Portland Trailblazers tonight. Anthony Davis, his back froze up. It locked up yesterday with back spasms, so he only played 9 minutes. Obviously, LeBron's going to be out. That's why you see 8.5 is the number tonight with Portland laying it. But those two teams, your 76ers, I'm laughing because what is happening right now with Brooklyn? Can you explain? They've just lost 4 straight. They lost last night to the Mavs. They may fall to 3.
Look, I think Brooklyn has made it very clear to anybody who wants to pay attention. You know, forget steam, forget everything. Brooklyn's saying, look, we're the best team in this league. Just get us to the tourney. That's all we need to do. We'll handle everything else once we get there. They could care less about every other scenario.
Yep.
They could care less. And so, you know, Philly gets the 1 seed, which really, to me, I think is helpful for them, because then they don't have to deal with some of the Milwaukee in the second round. And so I think it gives them a great opportunity. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. So the 8 seed right now in the East could come from the winner of the Indianapolis Pacers and the Washington Capitals. I almost said bullets there for a second, you know. And so there we go. And then, you know, we go from there, and we'll see what happens. I don't know how it all goes into the 7th seed. I thought maybe they play Charlotte, but there's so much imbalance that that's still up in the air. But, you know, Philly gets to play Washington, and then they get to play, you know, New York in round 2, and then it gets to 3, and then all of a sudden they're in the conference final. I mean, this is what the great Will Hill's been talking about for a while.
Yeah, the Nets slipping. Milwaukee's just a half game behind.
They don't
behind.
Care. We care more than they do.
You're right.
Care more about home court than they do. I don't know why we don't care about it. You know, Utah cares. Utah cares because they've got altitude and they've got a tough arena to play in, and I'm sure there'll be fans in Salt Lake City when it comes time to play them, as I'm sure there'll be fans in Philadelphia. Look, the governor, as of today here in New Jersey, lifted all restrictions.
Milwaukee.
And we still have to social distance for
so
six.
So wait, you guys just
feet.
Had – repeat that? You guys just had all restrictions lifted in Jersey?
All restrictions. It's still – you know, you still have to have 6 feet between you and somebody else. So bars are now open, okay? And you could sit at a bar. We could never sit at a bar in the last, you know, forever.
Right.
And so you could now sit at – but there has to be 6 feet. There has to be that social distancing. So I would suspect that the 76er games – you know, if the Wells Fargo holds 20,000, I would think they're going to get 12,000 in there.
100%. And they've been great the last 2 seasons at home, Philadelphia. This is important for them. They're sitting 1. You mentioned Utah sitting 1 seed in the West. That's home court throughout. Quickly, Milwaukee, a half game behind, sitting 3 in the East, half game behind the Nets. They do own the tiebreak. So if the Nets continue to flounder, Milwaukee will move up to 2. They've lost 4 straight, the Nets. The Mavs, and Luka's been bitching about the play-in scenario, Michael. They've got 8 wins in the last 11 games, so they're sitting alone at 5 in the West. Outside of that, I mean, it is like, if you look at the East, think about this. Boston and Miami are tied. I think Boston has the tiebreak there. But Miami 7, that was a team that was in the finals last year. It's just been a weird year. Charlotte sitting 8. Indiana, who's going to fire their head coach, is sitting 9. Washington, who all of a sudden with the 2 guards is going crazy, are sitting 10.
Yeah, so the way it goes, the winner of the 9-10 plays the loser of the 7-8.
That's right.
Right?
The winner of the 7-8 is in. The loser of the 7-8 plays the winner of 9-10.
Right. And so that means the winner of 9-10 goes to play. So if Washington beats Indiana, or if Indiana wins, they're playing Philly. No, that's not right, because they still have to play the loser
of 7-8.
Well, this is complicated now. Wow, they made this way more complicated than they had to. But it makes up, you know, they went from 82 games to 72, so it makes up for the games in terms of how much the ratings. You know, what's your odds on where, what round of the playoffs do they end up beating the draft ratings on television?
That is a, you know, the numbers are way down in the NBA. You know this.
Shock. Nobody, well, there's, you know, nobody talks about it, but it's way down. Nobody's watching.
The draft was...
Why would you watch? I mean, I love the NBA as much as anybody. I'm not anti the NBA. I'm going to watch the NBA. I'm not making this a political statement whatsoever, but they don't care about the regular season.
No.
I mean, Silver has to do something about it. He has to say, look, you know, the question I was asked somebody last night, I used to work in the NBA, I said, what would David Stern be doing right now? And he said David Stern would be really nervous.
He'd losing his mind.
He would be really nervous. Yeah, he'd be really upset because the quality of the play in the regular season, you can't tell me that the TNT executives and the ESPN executives and the ABC executives are happy with the product they're airing. It's not. It's a G League product right now. You know, and maybe it's because of the bubble. Maybe, you know, we've had too many seasons back to back. I get that. You know, I get that. And I understand it. And I understand, you know, this whole thing of load management that has come into our world that never existed when Michael Jordan played, and he seemed to get around it pretty well and had a long career. But for some reason, it's taken off and it has its own life. And we're not getting the quality of play. I mean, typically, you know, you get Milwaukee playing Boston or Milwaukee playing the Nets, you think it's a great game, and then you go turn it on, there's, you know, guys you don't even know who's on the court.
So do you want me to give you – now, again, 2020 – is a bit of an anomaly, but I'll give you the finals last year with the Lakers and the Heat. The first three games of that series averaged about 6.7 viewers. Now, the numbers were down huge, but 6.7. The draft averaged almost 13 million.
Yeah.
And they're on a different planet. They're on a different planet.
I don't think the NFL's on a different planet. As much as Cuban said the NFL was going to decline, he's wrong.
Oh, he's insane.
The
That's
NFL's
insane.
Not going to decline. Yeah, the NFL's not declining. The NBA is never going to take over the NFL because because there's too many games. There's too many games. There's too many bad teams. There's too many bad teams. People want to put a team in Seattle and have the Supersonics come back, and I'm all for it. But do you want to dilute the league even more?
Simply put.
And this whole tanking it doesn't help the league either.
No, it doesn't.
Like, who are we tanking for? How good is this draft? Who are we tanking for?
And this is simply put, the finals of the NBA was doubled by the draft of the NFL. That's simply put.
Yeah.
The finals numbers, double the amount watched a draft than watched the actual final product.
Get turned in.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
It's just on another planet. That's why, you know, VSiN, we provide every single sport, but you watch everything spike. When you start talking NFL, I mean, there's no surprise here. That's why you're so valuable. No. I mean, that is just an absolute insane spike that no other sport can contend with.
And I think for us as a betting network, we'll have a better understanding of the NBA once they start to take it as seriously as we take it. But
that's right.
One thing that you have to be able to do as a bettor is try to see if you can reduce some variables. And the way the league is right now with multitude of variables, as good as JVT is at breaking down all these games, all his numbers are irrelevant because we don't even know if the level of performance has been standardized. We don't know that. You know, when you talk about this team's going at this pace, but they're not really – some of those guys aren't playing. It's hard to really do a statistical analysis when half the time, you know, Kyrie's got to go down to the shoemaker and get his shoes, shined, and he's going to miss 3 days for doing that. Like, seriously, how do we know?
Yeah, I know. Well, before we move on, how are you feeling about your 76ers?
Well, you know, I mean, look, they play the Pelicans tonight. I mean, and it's to me, they have six games remaining. They have a 2.5 game lead. And it's paramount that they get the number one seed. This will be
totally
a game
agree.
That they have to win. They have to win this game. As bad as and last time they went down there, New Orleans beat them. New Orleans isn't even in the top 10 right now. They're not even in the top 10.
Nope,
so
they're 11.
Should be a game that they're 11. They should be serious about this and play it. I thought they were. I mean, I didn't like the scheduling the way they had it. They had to go. They played San Antonio, had to fly to Chicago, come back to Houston. Kind of stupid. I mean, like, didn't somebody look at that and say, this makes no sense at all, right?
Right.
Like, why would we do this? And nobody, when that schedule came out, nobody knew we were all going to get shots and it was going to be a little bit more opened. I mean, can you imagine whoever put that in place said, like, it was during a COVID restricted time? Really not very smart. So, you know, now they come back, they play home, and they've got to go back and take care of it. They got a lot of teams on their schedule that they can beat, and they have a 2.5-game lead. And that's, you know, the Nets don't care. I mean, the Nets aren't even challenging them. The Nets don't – I mean, they lose last night. We talked about that yesterday with Josh Applebaum, and, you know, everybody was concerned about it, you know. So we'll see.
The 76ers, though, they just won 3 straight on the road. I believe it's up to 5 straight now. They're laying – that's a big number to lay just because you just mentioned the motivation. First off, the motivation's there for the 76ers, home court throughout. They need it. They're great at home. But New Orleans has a chance to slip in there in the play-in. They're now just a game and a half back of San Antonio for 10. So these last 6 games for the Pelicans are their season. So it's a big number at 9 to lay.
Yeah, and now tonight, Steven Adams is doubtful for the game with a toe injury. So that means who's going to really guard the big fella inside? You know, that becomes a problem. Steven Adams gives the big fella some trouble. He did the last time they played down there. You know, Korkmaz is not going to play for the 76ers with an ankle injury, but he's the only guy on their injury report as of now. So, you know, that's where they are. And defensively, look, the big fella is tremendous. I mean, for the New Orleans Pelicans, he's unbelievable. But, you know, there's no defense on that team whatsoever.
Yeah, Ingram's out. Adams looks like he's doubtful. Trending towards out tonight for the Pelicans. That's why you see that number all the way up to 9 in a must-win scenario for the Pelicans. Okay, as we move, I think if it's providing buzz or juice, that's the problem. I think the play-in would provide the juice that the NBA wants it, and obviously the anti-take.
If they took it seriously, their best player just dismissed it as something ridiculous, you know.
He said, whoever created that S should be fired. That's LeBron James' quote about the play-in.
I mean, this is where Silver has to kind of like, we're partners in this, fellas. Like, you're hurting our business. It's a little bit, this is what they call in London, they call this a Ratner. And it goes back to when this man, Gerald Ratner, who owned a jewelry company in London, a very successful jewelry company worth over half a billion dollars. And he got on stage at a huge economic summit, and he went out and they asked, and he was making a joke. And this is in the 70s, before the internet, before Twitter, before any of the social media, before instantaneous conversations. And he went out and said, "How do we make it at this affordable price? Because it's all junk." And everybody laughed in the building. His business, he went broke in 18 months. He was broke because he made fun of the product he was selling. And this is where I think Silver has to have a conversation with his partners. The players are his partners. You're pulling a Ratner on us. Everybody in England understands what a Ratner is. They use it as common language.
Yep.
And so you're pulling a Ratner. You're hurting our business. When you discredit what we're trying to do, you're taking revenues out of your pocket. Now, I know you guys are so wealthy, you don't care, but it hurts the product. It hurts the product. And I think that's where there's an absence of leadership in the NBA. I don't think there's any denying that.
Well, I think you nailed
everybody
it.
Everybody loves Adam Silver because he doesn't tell anybody no.
He's fostered such a relationship with the players where it's not that, you know, Stern could be antagonistic, but he could be antagonistic towards the owners, towards the players. He was worried about the product. It's almost like Silver's gotten too close to the player.
He's protected, you know, what happened was that, you know, he protected the business. David Stern protected the business as much as he possibly could. He was going to stand on his ground to protect the business, the value of the corporations, of all the teams. And he was going to be dogmatic in that approach. Now, who's protecting the business is bad. No one's watching. No one cares. The players don't care. They ridicule the play-in as if to dismiss it. How do you think ABC felt? If ESPN has the rights to the play-in and LeBron just said, it's ridiculous, nobody cares, you think anybody's going to watch it?
No. I mean, they're getting crushed right now in the ratings. Quickly, as we transition, we'll have some NBA picks tonight from Josh coming up in just a bit. So The Athletic, which you write for, yesterday reported that over the past couple of months, the Packers did indeed offer to make Aaron Rodgers the highest paid quarterback, which makes him the highest paid football player of all time. And the overtures were turned down by the Rodgers camp. Any surprise there?
You know, I am a little surprised. I think that, you know, you'd have to find out what that actually, what they were trying to accomplish and what they were doing. And I just think, to me, before you start throwing money at someone, you have to find out the root cause of the problem. And I think Mr. Murphy needs to get on an airplane and go sit down with Aaron Rodgers and have a heart-to-heart. And, you know, he's already opened up the avenue, but has someone reached out to understand the plight of Aaron Rodgers? And they're all worried in Green Bay. Everybody that I know associated in and around the team is worried that he's not going to play. And they're worried that they're going to end up being 5-12. And they're going to be looked at as like, look, he carried him. And trust me, I don't think he cares. I think he's content with where he is in life.
You mentioned he might pull a Jim Brown, dip out for a year and come back.
The question then becomes, do the Packers go after him for the money? Because the Packers are owed $30 million if he does do that. Do they come after him? And how does that look?
It's a sensitive situation, to say the least. When we come back, rookie running back props right here on the Lombardi Line on a Friday. If you become a member, you get the free tools we provide at VSiN.com. I would just say, literally, it's all worth it just for tracking the line movements. And the line movements we constantly talk about, every bettor should get very comfortable and intimate with, and we do a better job than anybody. Go to VSiN.com, you get the parlay calculator, betting 101 info. But, you know, that line movement tracking is so important. You can do it right there at VSiN.com. Start your free trial today at vsin.com and get going. Become a more sophisticated bettor. We welcome you back, Michael Lombardi in Jersey. How's the weather there, by the way?
You know, it's supposed to be a little colder this weekend, but, you know, it's still in the high 50s, 60s, so we're not quite beach day yet, but it's nice.
Okay, well, get the board shorts ready.
We can get it going.
You'll be good to go. Yeah. Josh Applebaum, Market Insights is the pod, as we say hi. Josh, how's it? Nice haircut, buddy.
Thanks. Got my ears lowered, guys. So, yeah, I should have done it before the NFL draft. But, yeah, better late than never, I guess.
Is it nice up there in New England?
It is, Patrick. And by the way, it sounds like you got some allergies. I've been going through that, too. It's rough here in New England with
never
the allergies.
Never had them until I moved here.
And I thought the desert air, like, I thought that got rid of the allergies. I don't know, Patrick.
It's insane.
We're going to get you some Zyrtec or something, my man. Hope you're feeling better.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. All right, Josh, just as you take a step, but we were just talking the NBA. Actually ended up being a very good conversation about, you know, and Michael pointedly keeps on talking about when the playoffs start, we'll get involved because at least there's some knowns. Right now, it continues to be an unknown, but congratulations on your Mavs play last night.
Oh, appreciate it, Patrick. Yeah, so I'm with Michael. I'm totally with you here right now. I'll be totally honest with you guys. Spreads, unless it jumps out to me, like every box getting checked, you know, a sharp move, some kind of matchup, you know, with the Bulls last night, kind of that injury situation that favored them over the Hornets. Unless you have that, to me, I'm really strictly a totals guy right now, guys. I'm looking at a lot of overs. So one interesting thing, and Michael, I want to throw three games at you, and you help me pick what your favorite overplay is here, because I think we have some opportunities. But number one, we've seen
before you start, Josh, and get on a roll, I just got word that Joel Embiid today is questionable with a knee. We just talked about this game.
Mammoth.
That's why I wanted to hit you before we started. And the line went from 9, now it's going to 7.5. So Steven Adams might play, Embiid might not play, even though he played back-to-back. He played against Dallas and then played Chicago, came back and played against Houston on a day's rest. And now after they played Houston Wednesday night, now Friday, he's questionable, which means he's not playing. So take that into consideration.
No, I appreciate it, Michael. And also you have Brandon Ingram there. It looks like he's going to be out for the Pelicans. So, you know, this is just the way it is. We talk about how hard it is with these injuries. As we speak, an injury comes down. So that's just kind of the part of the NBA that right now is frustrating. But I think just to our point earlier with a lot of these overs, we've seen a steady increase to overs all season. We started off with unders doing very well. It was unders and dogs. And each month throughout the season, now we're getting into kind of the wild west of the season, the last, you know, six games or so in the 72-game schedule. Overs have done steadily better and better. And really what we're seeing is so far in the month of May, overs are 26 and 21. Nothing crazy, but you're about 55%. And here's the key. These non-conference overs, lack of familiarity, they're 13 and 6 in the month of May. And when the line stays the same or rises, they're 18 and 6. So a lot of this to the over. So sometimes when you see this movement to the over, especially late in season, I just think it's like, if it's so hard betting these spreads, not knowing who's in and who's out, sometimes these totals are really kind of the way to go if you still want to bet the NBA. So, Michael, the first one I'll throw at you, Celtics and the Bulls. What do you think of this over here? No Jaylen Brown, but you have the Bulls kind of back with a bunch of their big guys coming back, Vucevic, LaVine. But, guys, saw a lot of over money here. It opened 222. It's up to 224. Celtics have been a big over team recently. They've been scoring a lot, not playing great defense. They're 6-0 to the over their last six. You have some over refs in this game, Smith and Richardson, both about 54% to the over. Also have a system, an over when the home team missed the playoffs last year and the road team made it, 136 and 110 to the over, 55%. And this would be that non-division over where the line stays the same or rises, which is about 56%. So kind of that lack of familiarity leading to more offense. Michael, first one up, any intrigue to this over 224?
I don't like it at all, Josh. I think this has been the Bulls, if you look at their home games, have gone under in 11 of the last 13 games. Now you take out Brown and his 25 points. Where is that void coming from? And you look at, you know, the Boston plays at only the 20th fastest pace in the NBA this season, while Chicago ranks 13th. And I think that both teams will play a gritty type game. I don't like this one. I don't see this one going over as easily as some of these others, only because the previous two games, these teams produced only 198 points.
There you go. That was some good information coming back. Throw him another one there, Josh.
This is good. I'll throw another one, Michael. How about T-Wolves in the Heat? This is another one that caught my eye. This is a play kind of on a T-Wolves team that scores a lot, is very bad defensively. They're actually the third worst defensive efficiency team in the NBA. But this one opened kind of similar sort of thing, 224.5. It's now up to around 226.5, so this thing is rising. This would be that non-conference over that rises. This would also be two teams that are decent to the over. T-Wolves 35 and 31, Heat 34 and 32. These teams did meet last time, April 16th. The final score, it landed on 230. It was a 119-111 win for Minnesota. And these are teams that are trending over recently. The Wolves are 3-0 their last three. The Heat, quietly, guys, out of nowhere. We think of the Heat as a slow-paced team. They're 7-0 to the over their last seven. So, Michael, does this one interest you at all?
Not at all either. You know, when you look at this, I think both of this is about pace. I think this is about pace. I think when you look at Miami, has had a run of seven straight overs. But when you look at the home games this season, they average only 216 points per game in those home games. So when they're back home, they seem to play much better defense than they do on the road. And I think you need to separate that at times. So for me, I think when you look at this, the Timberwolves, you know, they're 9-8 against the spread since April 1st. And Anthony Edwards has kind of cooled down a little bit for sure, but this team does match up well with Miami. I think they slow the pace down. I would not be a fan of betting this game on the over.
We got one more, Mike. I got one last chance before I strike out here. Houston and Milwaukee. What do you think about this one? This is a play on a little bit of a line move to the
did
over.
Did you watch Houston play the other night? Houston, they don't play defense.
So maybe this one's a little more intriguing, Michael.
Go.
You're right. Sixth worst defensive efficiency team in the NBA. Milwaukee, the fifth best offense. Milwaukee, unless they, you know, kind of screw us later today and maybe rest some of their big guys. As of now, everyone's in 3-4 to the over their last four. And also these non-conference overs 230 or higher, the over's 58%. So, Michael, did we get a winner there? Is that a possibility?
I like this one because the last time they played it was 143 to 136. The Rockets won the game, believe it or not. It was only their two wins in the last 10. And Giannis left that game early with an ankle sprain. So I like this one. Kevin Porter Jr. had a great game. He had a career-high 50 points in that game. No one's playing defense in this game.
One for two. Well, I'll no, what, the, you know, one mean, for three part of it.
At your own risk.
If you're a baseball player, that'd be a good percentage. When we come back, we'll talk baseball with Josh Applebaum coming up next. If you become a member, you get the free tools we provide at VSiN.com. I would just say, literally, it's all worth it just for tracking the line movements. And the line movements we constantly talk about, every bettor should get very comfortable and intimate with, and we do a better job than anybody. Go to VSiN.com, you get the parlay calculator, betting 101 info. But you know that line movement tracking is so important. You can do it right there at VSiN.com. Start your free trial today at vsin.com and get going. Become a more sophisticated bettor. We welcome you back, Michael Lombardi in Jersey. How's the weather there, by the way?
You know, it's supposed to be a little colder this weekend, but, you know, it's still in the high 50s, 60s, so we're not quite beach day yet, but it's nice.
Okay. Well, get the board shorts ready.
We get it going.
You'll be good to go. Yeah. Josh Applebaum, Market Insights is the pod, as we say hi. Josh, how's it? Nice haircut, buddy.
Thanks. Got my ears lowered, guys. So, yeah, I should have done before the NFL draft. But, yeah, better late than never, I guess.
Is it nice up there in New England?
It is, Patrick. And by the way, it sounds like you got some allergies. I've been going through that, too. It's rough here in New England with
never
the allergies.
Never had them until I moved here.
And I thought the desert air, like, I thought that got rid of the allergies. I don't know, Patrick.
It's insane.
We're going to get you some Zyrtec or something, my man. Hope you're feeling better.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. All right, Josh, just as you take a step, but we were just talking the NBA. Actually, ended up being a very good conversation about, you know, and Michael pointedly keeps on talking about when the playoffs start, we'll get involved because at least there's some knowns. Right now, it continues to be an unknown, but congratulations on your Mavs play last night.
Oh, appreciate it, Patrick. Yeah, so I'm with Michael. I'm totally with you here right now. I'll be totally honest with you guys. Spreads, unless it jumps out to me, like every box getting checked, you know, a sharp move, some kind of matchup, you know, with the Bulls last night, kind of that injury situation that favored them over the Hornets. Unless you have that, to me, I'm really strictly a totals guy right now, guys. I'm looking at a lot of overs. So one interesting thing, and Michael, I want to throw three games at you, and you help me pick what your favorite overplay is here, because I think we have some opportunities. But number one, we've seen
before you start, Josh, and get on a roll, I just got word that Joel Embiid today is questionable with a knee. We just talked about this game.
Mammoth.
That's why I wanted to hit you before we started. And the line went from 9, now it's going to 7.5. So Steven Adams might play, Embiid might not play, even though he played back-to-back. He played against Dallas and then played Chicago, came back and played against Houston on a day's rest. And now after they played Houston Wednesday night, now Friday, he's questionable, which means he's not playing. So take that into consideration.
No, I appreciate it, Michael. And also you have Brandon Ingram there. It looks like he's going to be out for the Pelicans. So, you know, this is just the way it is. We talk about how hard it is with these injuries. As we speak, an injury comes down. So that's just kind of the part of the NBA that right now is frustrating. But I think just to our point earlier with a lot of these overs, we've seen a steady increase to overs all season. We start off with unders doing very well. It was unders and dogs. And each month throughout the season, now we're getting into kind of the wild west of the season, the last, you know, six games or so in the 72-game schedule. Overs have done steadily better and better. And really what we're seeing is so far in the month of May, overs are 26-21. Nothing crazy, but you're about 55%. And here's the key. These non-conference overs, lack of familiarity, they're 13-6 in the month of May. And when the line stays the same or rises, they're 18-6. So a lot of this to the over. So sometimes when you see this movement to the over, especially late in season, I just think it's like, if it's so hard betting these spreads, not knowing who's in and who's out, sometimes these totals are really kind of the way to go if you still want to bet the NBA. So, Michael, the first one I'll throw at you, Celtics and the Bulls. What do you think of this over here? No Jaylen Brown, but you have the Bulls kind of back with a bunch of their big guys coming back, Vucevic, LaVine. But, guys, saw a lot of over money here. It opened 222. It's up to 224. Celtics have been a big over team recently. They've been scoring a lot, not playing great defense. They're 6-0 to the over their last six. You have have some over refs in this game. Smith and Richardson, both about 54% to the over. Also have a system, an over when the home team missed the playoffs last year and the road team made it. 136 and 110 of the over, 55%. And this would be that non-division over where the line stays the same or rises, which is about 56%. So kind of that lack of familiarity leading to more offense. Michael, first one up, any intrigue to this over 224?
I don't like it at all, Josh. I think this has been the Bulls, if you look at their home games, have gone under in 11 of the last 13 games. Now you take out Brown and his 25 points. Where is that void coming from? And you look at, you know, the Boston plays at only the 20th fastest pace in the NBA this season, while Chicago ranks 13th. And I think that both teams will play a gritty type game. I don't like this one. I don't see this one going over as easily as some of these others, only because the previous two games, these teams produced only 198 points.
There you go. That was some good information coming back. Throw him another one there, Josh.
This is good. I'll throw another one, Michael. How about T-Wolves in the Heat? This is another one that caught my eye. This is a play kind of on a T-Wolves team that scores a lot, is very bad defensively. They're actually the third worst defensive efficiency team in the NBA. But this one opened kind of similar sort of thing, 224.5. It's now up to around 226.5, so this thing is rising. This would be that non-conference over that rises. This would also be two teams that are decent to the over. T-Wolves 35 and 31, Heat 34 and 32. These teams did meet last time, April 16th. The final score, it landed on 230. It was a 119-111 win for Minnesota. And these are teams that are trending over recently. The Wolves are 3-0 their last three. The Heat, quietly, guys, out of nowhere. We think of the Heat as a slow-paced team. They're 7-0 to the over their last seven. So, Michael, does this one interest you at all?
Not at all either. You know, when you look at this, I think both of this is about pace. I think this is about pace. I think when you look at Miami, it has had a run of seven straight overs. But when you look at the home games this season, they average only 216 points per game in those home games. So when they're back home, they seem to play much better defense than they do on the road. And I think you need to separate that at times. So for me, I think when you look at this, the Timberwolves, you know, they're 9-8 against the spread since April 1st. And Anthony Edwards has kind of cooled down a little bit for sure, but this team does match up well with Miami. I think they slow the pace down. I would not be a fan of betting this game on the over.
We got one more, Michael. I got one last chance before I strike out here. Houston and Milwaukee. What do you think about this one? This is a play on a little bit of a line move to the over.
Did you watch Houston play the other night? Houston, they don't play defense.
So maybe this one's a little more intriguing, Michael. You're right. Sixth worst defensive efficiency team in the NBA. Milwaukee, the fifth best offense. Milwaukee, unless they, you know, kind of screw us later today and maybe rest some of their big guys, as of now, everyone's in 3-4 to the over their last four. And also, these non-conference overs, 230 or higher, the over's 58%. So, Michael, did we get a winner there? Is that a possibility?
I like this one because the last time they played, it was 143 to 136. The Rockets won the game, believe it or not. It was only their two wins in the last 10. And Giannis left that game early with an ankle sprain. So I like this one. Kevin Porter Jr. had a great game. He had a career-high 50 points in that game. No one's playing defense in this game.
One for two.
At your own risk.
If you're a baseball player, that'd be a good percentage. When we come back, we'll talk baseball with Josh Applebaum coming up next. Don't get style points, but you can when a team hits a home run. Bet a dollar to win 100. Yankees or Nats that hit a home run tonight in the Bronx. VSiN 100 is the bonus code. Got to be located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Call or text Redline 800-889-9789 in Tennessee. We welcome you back. He is Michael Lombardi there on the right of your screen. Josh Applebaum right dead in the middle. Market Insights is the pod. You can find GM Shuffle from Michael as far as the podcast. They're both authors as well. Can I get the baseball conversation started, Mr. Baseball, if you don't mind? And Josh, I'd be curious to hear what you think of this. A three-game series starts up in Detroit. I could talk about this Detroit team. I know it very intimately. The Twins come to town. The two worst records in baseball, one expected the Tigers, one not expected at all. The Tigers have the worst offense in all of baseball. It's not even close. But anyway, here's the matchup. Shoemaker, who's been horrible for the Twins, and Skubal, who's been equally as bad for the Tigers, although it's even worse because we have expectations for this kid, but he has been horrible. He doesn't strike out anybody. Hard contact every time you watch him. Now, here's the thing about Shoemaker, Michael. I'll start with you. 7.83 ERA for Shoemaker, who's a Michigan guy, by the way, with the Twins. Not any good. But here's where it gets interesting. He has been dominant in his career. And when I say dominant, 7 starts, 5-1, a .79 ERA. His debut this year, Shoemaker, came against the Tigers. 6 innings pitched, 1 earned, and 3 hits. So, again, when you look at the number of the Twins just laying $1.38 here, understand Shoemaker, yes, he's been horrible, but against the Tigers, he's been absolutely dominant.
No doubt. And I think when you look at the Tigers, they've averaged 7.3 runs in games in their last series against the Red Sox. But that's a little misleading in the sense that their offensive success came from a lot of errors by Boston. Yep. And Shoemaker's dominance against Detroit throughout this should be able to hold on. And I do like it. I think when you look at it throughout his career, he's allowed just 1 run and 3 hits in 6 innings against them back on April the 5th. So I like that here. I think it's a 3-star play here.
And Josh, I had a friend text me, actually my producer, he just texted me, he bet the Twins team total over 4.5 because he expects the Twins, whose offense, you know, Buxton and Cruz have been remarkable, to go over 4.5 for the Twins. What do you got on this one?
Well, I was just going to say that over is intriguing to me, Patrick, because you know, I just saw your Detroit Tigers, who gave my Red Sox a tough time here. They're like kind of like the Pelicans in the NBA when you talk about offense. They're actually, believe it or not, I think on the year they're still kind of an under team, 19-13. But you do have Minnesota 16-12 to the over. And the Detroit, just from what I've seen this last series against the Red Sox, they're scoring a lot. They're kind of pesky. They don't have great pitching here. And my angle for this game would be, if you want to take a shot on the over 9, that's intriguing to me because the wind is blowing out right now. Patrick, back in your native hometown here, you know, it's blowing dead center here. It's kind of a decent day in Detroit. Wind blowing out, 2 high ERA pitchers. So I'd be looking at an overplay there. That's kind of intriguing, that over 9.
Okay, there it is. To get us started with the baseball, Josh, we'll keep it going. You got, by the way, did you hear Mr. Baseball? He's on the Mets tonight, which I like. The Mets are laying a little cheaper price than we expected. I think it's $1.30. You want to comment on Michael's play there?
Yeah, so I don't mind that at all, Michael. Yeah, open -125-ish up to -130. That would match to me as a favorite with a very low total. I love these sort of situations where if you're on the favorite, the total on this one is only 7. You kind of game theory it out. You know, if there's only going to be a few runs scored in this game, more likely you would think they would come from quote-unquote the better team. So the Mets there laying that kind of short number. I don't hate it at all, Michael. And again, you look at Arizona against lefties this year, only 2-5. So you might have that in your back pocket as well.
That's what I liked about it. And the fact that, you know, the Mets have at least showed some signs of coming out of their April slump. You know, Francisco Lindor, you know, he was ended at 0-for-26 skid. I mean, so I'm hoping to get a little bit of offense from the Mets and not leaving me at the altar with good pitching and no offense. So I hope this will work out.
Okay, let's go to Cleveland. Miley in Cincinnati in town taking on Plesac. Plesac's getting bet here. He's up to 140 on most books. Open right around $1.30, Josh.
Yeah, Patrick, I really like the Tribe in this one. You're looking at Cleveland here. So interleague matchup, in-state matchup here. But you have some angles here with Cleveland that you may enjoy. So number one, it's kind of a split ticket count. Even slight public is saying, hey, these teams are somewhat even. I'll take the Reds and plus money. However, this move toward Cleveland is really interesting. They open around -130 at home. Even split or slightly Reds, yet the line's moving further to Cleveland. Cleveland's now up to around -140. I'm seeing some shops even like -145. You do have Cleveland playing great right now. They've won 5 straight. They just swept KC. The Reds just split against the White Sox here. But with that move toward the Indians, you also have a favorite with a low total of 8 here. But what I like, guys, interleague line movement. This is key. And Patrick, you mentioned earlier, you know, going to VSiN.com, using all of our software to look at line moves. They're really important. But in interleague play, whichever team the line moves to in interleague play, that team has gone 27-16, 63%. So that kind of speaks to, if there's smart money come in, you got to play the style of baseball of the home team in interleague play. That would match with Cleveland here. And also, no Joey Votto. He just broke his thumb. That's a guy in the middle of their lineup that they're going to be without here. And also Cleveland, 9-4 is a favorite. And Cincinnati only 4-6 is a dog. So, Michael, what do you think? I know Miley's numbers are pretty decent here, but would you ride Cleveland, a pretty hot team here at home?
I like Cleveland. You know, like you said, they won 5 in a row. And I think Plasek, you know, he's had 2 bad starts before, you know, Sunday when he went 5.2 innings and he shut out the White Sox. So I think he's doing much better than his 4.7 ERA indicates. And last year he finished with a 2.28. And I think he faces a Reds team that scored just 1 and 2 games against the White Sox this week. So I like it. I do. I think this is a good matchup for the Indians. I think Plesnik is a better pitcher than his ERA indicates. I would take the Reds here.
Seattle struggling in Texas tonight. Flexing on the bump for Seattle. Fultonavich, just quickly, when Fultonavich was, he was ridiculous for about a year and a half with Atlanta. And then I don't know how athletes lose it, but he completely lost it. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, but he's back here with Texas, and he's laying a little bit of a price, 116, with Seattle in town.
Yeah, to me, Patrick, this is a really sharp line move on the Rangers if you want to sweat the Rangers here. So the Rangers are playing great. They just took 3 of 4 at Minnesota. They were like a plus 160 dog all 4 games in Minnesota, and they won 3 out of 4. So if you had backed the Rangers in that series against the Twins, you're feeling really good. They really came up huge for dog bettors. You also look at Seattle, Patrick. They lost 2 of 3, and they just got no hit by John Means here. So what I like about this one is the public is split. They don't really know where to go. They say Mariners have a better record, but they're not playing great. Rangers are playing well. What do I do? They're right down the middle. However, big move here to the Texas Rangers. The Rangers open at some shops like a plus 105, very short dog. You actually open with the Mariners as a slight favorite. And this is one of my favorite systems, this dog to favorite line move, because we've now seen Texas get flipped all the way to minus 115, minus 116. Some shops are even getting maybe to like minus 120. That's a pretty big move here. That would match a system I like. Steam 15 cents or more off a win, 57% this year. And Michael, I think you're playing the red hot bats of Texas in this one. They're hitting 237, which is 13th in baseball, not bad. But Seattle is dead last in hitting this year. They're only hitting 201, worst in Major League Baseball. So, Michael, what do you think? Do you like that move toward Texas in this one?
And they're second to last in OPS at 639. Fulinitz is, to me, he has come back a little bit. He's showing signs of life that Patrick indicated. I mean, he's 1-0 in his last 3 starts with a 3.12 ERA. And look, he's facing against some bats that are not very good. I mean, like you mentioned, Means pitched the no-hitter against him. Seattle has a hard time hitting softball hit pitching. So I think the Rangers are pretty much the play here, if you believe in Fulinitz to be able to return to the way he's pitched the last 3 games.
I totally agree. We all 3 concur. Let's go Tampa Bay, come from behind win last night against the Angels. Rich Hill on the bump, Manea. And we're going to go, looks like Tampa Bay's getting bet off the 138 opener for Oakland and Manea.
Yeah, Patrick, you're right. Break up the Rays here. That's another team that in that series against the Angels, a clean sweep. And again, came back big last night. And Tampa Bay was pretty much a dog in all those games there. So on the flip side, Oakland, great record here, 19-14. But they just split with Toronto here. They lost their last 2. On the surface, the pitching matchup looks like it definitely favors Oakland. Manaea's 3-1, 3.48. Rich Hill has struggled. He's 1-1 with an ERA like 6.39. What I like about this one, guys, is the public says, give me the better pitcher, Oakland, better record, better team at home. Yet, Oakland open around minus 140, they're down to minus 125. So you've seen some money come in here on Tampa Bay with plus money. They'll match a lot of systems this year. Dogs with a line move, dogs off a win, sweet spot dogs plus 140 or less. And you have seen the Rays. This is kind of the spot that the Rays have been really good in. On the road, the Rays are 11-5, and as a dog, the Rays are 9-6. So they seem to get up for these games when maybe they're being undervalued. But, Michael, what do you think? I know it's a tough spot against Oakland, but do you think the Rays can keep it going here?
Well, the first 4 matchups when these 2 teams played, they'd stayed under the total. And you would think that it would stay under again. But in the relatively low number, the over with Manassas starting is 4-0. So, you know, Oakland's bat, they lead the league in home runs. You know, that's a, such a low total. I kind of think the over may have some value here. Typically, everybody's going to bet the under because of these two pitchers. So I definitely would like that play on the over just slightly. If you can get it, if it goes 7.5, I mean, I think that's a pretty good number.
I was thinking about the Rays last night, Josh, as I was watching them. And the Angels, listen, the Angels are a disaster right now. They just released Pujols. Their rotation is a joke. But I was thinking about, actually, Haney pitched pretty well last night for the Angels. But the Rays, when we're talking about the NBA and just starting point of effort, the one thing you're talking about the Rays, it doesn't matter if it's July, if it's August, whatever it is, they're going to give you 100%. And that's what they did last night, digging themselves out of a hole last night to beat the Angels. Always 100% effort with the Rays.
Great point by you, Patrick. Yeah, this is a team that, you know, they seem to always be good. You don't really, you can't name more than a couple players on their team,
right?
But they change their lineups, the way Cash manages. That's why I think as a dog, good effort team, to me, that's with plus money, it's hard to ignore.
Yeah, I like them as well. Michael, enjoy your Friday.
Thank you. Thank you. Go shopping Mother's Day. Big weekend.
You better get Millie.
Ready, you know?
You better get Millie something now. Maybe a Birkin. Maybe a Birkin bag.
Yeah, there you go. There we go.
That's the suggestion.
We'll do it. Don't worry, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate
it. Just a little reminder. Josh, enjoy your day as well. We'll see you both tomorrow, okay? All right.
Appreciate it. See you tomorrow, guys.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Saturday edition of the Lombardi Line coming up next here on VSiN, The Nuts.